XG Talk Show.
It's on.
Now.
Well, greetings and salutations. My name is Tony Motoroy from XJTalk.com, and this is the Jeep Cherokee XJTalk.com show. I really need to write that down. I kind of get bored halfway through saying it and have to think about what it is that I'm doing. So we're going to have a little talk show tonight, like we do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, and hope you enjoy it, whether it's live here on Ustream or listening to the recording via the podcast, iTunes podcast, or YouTube, or even the Ustream. So we'll get started here in just a minute.
XJTalk.com.
XJTalk.com.
It's where you go when you're not off-road.
This segment is brought to you by Iron Man 4x4, the toughest, most adjustable control arms in the industry. Iron Man 4x4 has a wide variety of rugged off-road suspension products that are overbuilt and underpriced. Visit IronMan4x4Fab.com today. That's IronMan4x4Fab.com.
Hello, this is Kurt, a.k.a. Weldman from Wisconsin. If you're looking to get some great information or share what you know about your XJ, and you need to see some pictures of other XJs to get some great ideas or how-tos, this is the place. We come from all over the world, so you might even make a few great friends. You won't find a better group of people to chat with. And best of all, we don't judge you for your ride. So stock or super modified, you are always welcome here. So look no further. XJTalk.com. The place you need to be. So sign up, sign in, and have some fun.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you about XJTalk.com. It's a great site. There's no bashing. Everybody's nice and friendly. Great place to be.
Okay.
Well, guys, thanks. It's another Wednesday, 8 p.m., so it's another live XJTalk.com show. And I did something today that I don't normally do. I got to bed pretty late last night. I think it was around 4 a.m. And I'm in this cycle again where I get home, I get sleepy, and I take a nap, and then I get up, and I'm up for a little while, and then I go to sleep. Well, last night I was busy messing around with stuff on the computer, on the internet, so on and so forth, and didn't get to sleep till late. So I took actually took an honest-to-goodness nap today before the show. So I rushed in here about 15 minutes before showtime and cranked everything up. And fortunately, I'm getting used to it enough doing this where all I have to do is come in here and turn it on and it works. I really don't have to worry about things coming up and working correctly. So I guess I'm feeling a little more comfortable about doing stuff like I did, taking that little nap. And I guess probably it was a 45-minute nap. Boy, I needed it. Wayne and Brian, XJ, Wayne in New Zealand, Cantab 27. They're used to seeing me early in the morning. That's usually after I've had my little 4 or 5 hour nap. Yeah, I know. That's a hell of a nap, isn't it? So that's what I did. And I don't think you can tell. I don't see any kind of hash pattern or anything on my face. So I guess I napped successfully without developing any napping marks. You may notice that I have a new microphone pop filter. It came in today. This is the 4-inch model. And if you remember, if you were watching last week or if you saw the YouTube or Ustream recording, you'll remember the frying pan I was talking into. And it looks something like this. So you can see there's quite a bit of difference. Yeah, this is a 6-inch, and the one I'm talking into now is a 4-inch. And you know what's really cool is I can still see the screen. Well, I can see a lot more of it than what I could. The microphone is still in the way, but I can see a lot more of the screen now. And that makes me feel a lot more comfortable trying to read something with two eyes instead of part of one eye. So this one is much, much better. Let's see. I don't think I have the right. I don't have the right logo being displayed. Yeah, I was going to get some colored ones of this made, and didn't get around to it. We got some. We're actually going to have a guest on next week's show. At least that's the current plan. Things can always change, but right now we're looking at having Payless 4x4. From XJ Talk, one of our advertisers. He's agreed to be actually we're going to record the show and then we'll play it on the live show next week. So you know, just kind of stay tuned with on XJ Talk and see what's going on with that. We're going to record that conversation later on in the week, and there'll be more about that for next week's show. But we'll have that coming up, and I believe that we're just going to talk about the Payless shop, what they have to offer, and I'm sure some side notes, a few things that are going on there, and some of the they're actually in California, so I'm sure there's some very either beautiful scenery or colorful stories that can be told about that. So I see we've got a few people showing up now. I see Mark from Detours is here. Rini, who hasn't been here in a couple of shows. Thanks for joining us, Rini. Argonard in the chat room. And there's Hooked on XJs. And he says, cool FX on the reverb. Wow, I don't know where you'd be getting the reverb. Hopefully it's not from me. Although I think I have the ability to do that. Let's see. Can't remember which button it is since I don't mess with it very often. There's one of them here that will give me a bit of a reverb. That's not it. I'm sure that got louder though. Anyway, mess with that some other time. I do have the ability to do some special effects here on the mixer board. I just don't usually mess with it. So this week's show, nothing really planned, just general talk. If you guys have some subject that you'd like to talk about or have something you'd like to bring up, please feel free to put it in the chat room and we can talk or discuss it. I think the thing I will go over first, though, is we finally did get the stickers that had been ordered, the XJ Talk stickers that had been ordered. We finally got those things shipped out. And I'm very happy about that. I'm sure many of you who have purchased those and had been waiting on those are very happy as well. One of the things that we were trying to do, we were trying to reduce the postal cost of shipping these stickers. And I knew that it was possible that a smaller envelope might make it cheaper. We didn't know for sure until we tried it. I guess there's some way, there's probably something on the website, on the U.S. Postal website that would tell you. But apparently, the special envelopes that my wife made for the 6-inch stickers made no difference in the cost. So we could ship the sticker, the 6-inch diameter sticker, we could ship it in 8.5 by 11 manila envelope. Or I think it's 8.5 by 11. You can put a full sheet of paper in it, so I think that's the right size. Or these special 6.5 inch by 6.5 inch. Actually, I think they're a little smaller than that. Envelopes that she made out of the standard size manila envelopes. Same price. Didn't matter. I think it was like 2 or 3 inches too wide to be the next price down. So that was a failed experiment, and it took us a little longer to get those things out because of those making those envelopes. So my apologies for that, but those stickers have gone out, and the last thing that we were shipping out was the Performance Distributor FireWire 4.0 kit that Weldman had that Weldman had won in our giveaway. For promos, which you just heard one of the promos at the one of his promos, winning promos at the start of the show, and I finally got that out, and he should be receiving that Monday, and I'm looking forward to finding out if that's going to improve his gas mileage, especially now with the gas prices being up around $4 a gallon. I think I saw it like $3.85 here today. But it is, I know it's higher in other parts of the country. I thought I heard something on the news that this is the sixth straight week that a barrel of oil has gone down in price. I haven't been watching much news. I've kind of been listening to podcasts and working, and I don't know. I haven't been following it. It wasn't my feeling that the price of a barrel of oil had gone down, but very well could be. I firmly believe that we're going to, you know, get hit a peak, and then it's going to drop like it did before. I do not believe that $4 a gallon is. There's no reason for it to be that. It's the speculators pushing things up. There's an abundance of oil. You know, maybe one of these days the government will get their head out their collective asses and start drilling for oil in this country instead of making us pay for oil across huge bodies of water simply because we want to try to keep our environment pristine. We have to do some stuff for ourselves. Cannot keep going down this road, and we can pretty things up after we get through this bad economic time, so on and so forth. So that's what I got for that. Don't really see anything else going on here in the chat room. What was I going to talk to you about? Well, there's been something that I've been meaning to discuss here for a while, and I know that some of you get off on a little, oh my God, not this. This is, you know, kind of nutty. But having gone through it myself, I kind of get the feeling that it's an important thing that people don't think about, which is if you're going to evacuate in an emergency, and more than likely, you're going to use your Jeep. Wayne in New Zealand went through this recently, not in an evacuation, but using his Jeep to get around a quake-ravaged area. There's always a possibility that in people being in a panic situation may try to attack you and take your vehicle. They may try to take your vehicle because it is obviously a vehicle that has been modified and outfitted so that it can go places that normal vehicles cannot. And this was my concern when I started, a pretty good while after I started building up my my Jeep so that I could evacuate my family if we were in another situation with a hurricane bearing down on us, especially a Category 5. And I got to thinking about it maybe a year or so later that, hey, I've really got this thing working well. I'm going to be able to evacuate my family in this vehicle, at least so I believe. And then I started thinking about, I think it was specifically the fairly recent Spielberg movie, War of the Worlds. And in that scene, little Tom Cruise was evacuating his family in a vehicle, and they ran upon a crowd, and the crowd basically took the vehicle from them, and somebody had a gun. It may have been being carried by the Tom Cruise family, I can't remember now, and they randomly started shooting that individual and stealing the car from one another. And you know, seeing what had happened during the evacuation here, whenever it was shortly after Katrina went into Louisiana, we were threatened with Hurricane Rita, which was a Category 5, and then dropped down to a Category 3, I think, when it finally made landfall up around Beaumont, which is about 60, 70 miles from where I live. But it panicked I think the combination of Katrina and seeing all that stuff on TV and the Category 5 of the Hurricane Rita that was bearing down on the Gulf Coast and looked like it was coming to the Houston area, I think that combination really panicked people. And it was very clear a couple of days ahead of time that the traffic was going to be unbelievable. So now I'm looking at, you know, I have a four-wheel drive, but it's just your run-of-the-mill stock four-wheel drive. And even though the Jeep Cherokee is capable off-road as it is, and certainly if you have to go off-road in it, then that's probably better than not. But you don't want to be stuck out in the open during a hurricane. Category 3, not so much. Category 2, maybe not so bad, you know, as long as there's not hail or one of the many tornadoes that get spawned. But Category 5, I don't know, 140, 160, 170 mile per hour winds in a vehicle. You know, maybe if I'm by myself, but with my children there, with my wife there, no. So anyway, I got to thinking about that, and what if we were evacuating in my now very off-road capable Jeep going around the traffic jams, and somebody's broke down, somebody's run out of gas. There was a lot of people that ran out of gas. There was a lot of people that had overheated vehicles. Remember, this is hurricane season is during the summer, and the vehicles may or may not be prepared for these long bumper to bumper treks. So, you know, I'd be cruising along off-road, and I could see how very quickly somebody could say, I can't leave my family out here listening to the radio or portable TV or whatever that they had, and the hurricane is bearing down, and they've got to make a command decision. And that command decision is, I've got to take a vehicle from somebody so that I can save my family. I mean, truly, law of the jungle type thing. So I thought about this, and I considered how horrible that would be for an individual to be stuck. And, you know, who is my family to be the ones that are able to survive and over this other family? And then I got to thinking about it, and well, it was because I prepared. It's because I prepared my vehicle to be able to accomplish this. I didn't do it before the first situation occurred, but thankfully we got through that without being hurt or injured. But now it's upon us again, and I prepared for this situation. That's why we're able to evacuate. So that in that preparation, I also have to consider, what am I going to do to keep my vehicle? And, you know, there's all kinds of things. You can call 911 if you're being carjacked by some crazed individual who may or may not have a gun. That's probably not going to work out too well for you. It's very doubtful that a police officer is going to make his way there in a timely manner to keep you from losing your vehicle. And if you refuse, if they have a weapon of some sort, a gun, and you refuse, depending on the level of panic in that individual, you may be dead. You're the one that's stopping them from resolving their problem. And it's not necessarily that this person is a criminal. I mean, certainly what they're doing is a criminal activity, but they are panicked. So somebody that might be perfectly fine any other time is not going to be fine now because they're panicking because they're seeing their family is not going to survive. Even if that's not true, they just have to feel that. So I made the decision that, and I'd been wanting to, I like guns. I think it's fun to shoot guns. I certainly don't want guns to shoot people, but that is one of the things that you can do with the tool. So I used this as a good reason, this fear that I had, this preparation for this, to take care of this fear that I had. I used this opportunity to seek out and find a weapon. And I got a shotgun, but I just didn't get a regular old duck hunting shotgun that's about 4 feet long. It's not really that long, but you know the barrels on them are quite long. I got they don't make them anymore, the Winchester Defender with a pistol grip. So it has a 19-inch barrel, I think. I may be thinking about a legal for a rifle, but anyway, it has the shortest barrel that you can have on a shotgun, and it still be legal. And it has a pistol grip, which means it doesn't have a full stock. So now the shotgun is quite small. It also means that it's not going to be very easy to control it when you shoot it, but it's going to be easier to carry, especially easier to move around in a small environment like a house, or in this case, a Jeep. So I put some stuff on it so that it would carry more shells on the... is it the magazine? It's the main housing that where the shell goes in, the trigger, that whole mechanism. Put the little plastic deal on the side there so it could hold 7 or 8 more rounds. And I think internally, taking out the plug that was in there, I can put 7 rounds of, is it 3-inch double-aught buck shells? So with one in the chamber, actually, I guess it would be 8. I think that's right. And then 6 or 7 there on the side. So it has a fairly good amount of stopping power with the number of shells that are on there. And since it's a pump shotgun, you can go through those shells pretty quick. So I get it all black because not only would it be used for protecting myself and my family in an evacuation, I also like the gun being black because I don't want people to know the person that's trying to attack me or kill me, I don't want them to know that I have the gun until I decide to use it. If I want to make it known that I have it, I can always rack one into the chamber, and that universal sound will certainly get somebody's attention. So I thought about it a little more, and I thought, well, you know, the shotgun's a real good idea. That would be great for one, maybe two individuals that was trying to take your vehicle. But what if there's more? What if it's a larger crowd? Maybe not everybody, maybe they don't think it through. I mean, it's a panic situation, obviously. Maybe they haven't thought it through, and it's like not so much, you know, these 30, well, let's say 5-10 people are all trying to take the vehicle. And they're not necessarily thinking which one of them or which one of their families is going to get it. All they know is it's a panic situation and I need this vehicle. We got to get it from this person before we can decide who's going to take it. Again, law of the jungle type stuff. So I thought, what could I get that would be something that would take care of a larger group of individuals. And you need something that is going to be reliable. You need something that has some very good kill power. And you need something that puts out a lot of bullets. And the thing that came to mind was an AK-47. Because you can put a, I mean, pretty much all of them come with 30-round clips. And I call that my crowd pleaser. I picked up a very inexpensive AK-47. I read, I think it's a Yugoslavian-made AK-47, stamped receiver, blah, blah, blah. And I read an article on the specifically made AK-47. I read an article on the internet where this guy took it out, middle of winter, shot 1,000 rounds through it or so. The barrel was red hot. He took it, he threw it in the back of his pickup, literally, and drove home. It sat out overnight. It was literally stuck to the back of his pickup truck in ice. He took it back out where he had been shooting it, broke it out of the ice, made sure, I think he had plugged the barrel so no water got in the barrel, unplugged the barrel, knocked the ice off it with his boot, put a clip in it, and shot another 1,000 rounds through it. And it never jammed. It was every bit as accurate as what it had been the day before. So it's reliable. It puts out a lot of bullets, and the bullets are of a good size. It's bigger than a 223 round, which my understanding is it's the 223, as in like for the M16 or civilian made AR-15 or one of the Bushmaster variants, whatever, the semi-automatics. The 223 military round is meant to hurt or injure soldiers on the field, and preferably more than one, and that way you can take two, three, four people out of the battle, because you injure one person, then another person, another soldier, has to help them off the battlefield. So the 223 injures. The AK-47 7.62x39 is meant to kill, not wound. So what? I got the AK-47. I took the wood stocks off of it, put some plastic, black plastic, some goodies on there, a folding stock so that it could be shorter again. So whenever you're in a small area, it's able to be moved around. And I got I forget exactly what it's called. It's you could take it's a little thing that you can join two clips together. So I can literally have 60 rounds of ammunition attached to the gun. Now, it's quite heavy when you do that. But that allows me to have a lot of firepower in a very small package. And as I said before, I call that the crowd pleaser, because that is a lot of bullets that I can put out. And hopefully that would deter a crowd from harming me and my family and taking our means of escape. Now, the other side of this is like I started, what gives me the right to protect myself and my family over somebody else? I don't like the idea of shooting somebody that's trying to protect their family. I don't like it at all. It would be a really horrific scene, and it would make a bad situation that they were going through a lot worse, because now the person that was there to protect them would be severely wounded or dead and waiting for a hurricane. My hopes is that I'm sufficiently ready for the sufficiently ready for the situation that it would be very clear to the individual or individuals that there would be no good reason for them to try to take the vehicle from me. And they either would calm the hell down, come to their senses, and do the best they could do with what they had, or at the very least, wait for the next capable off-road vehicle that wasn't as well prepared. That way, I can continue on, I can save my family, and I don't have to kill anybody in the process. That would be my biggest wish. And I mention all this to you, not because I want you to think that I'm some badass, because I'm not. I'm just a concerned person that wants to protect my family. And it's always really, it's always fun to make fun of people, especially, I think I recently posted up a picture of a guy that had, my gosh, what was it, a couple of 55-inch LCD screens together, put side by side for a monitor on his computer, and he probably had, my gosh, maybe $100,000 worth of military-style weapons hung all around it. And, you know, somebody says, yeah, this is definitely a nut. You know, I'm sure the same case could be made for me. And the reason why I'm thinking all these things is because I'm a nut. You know, why would you need, that's never going to happen. You're never going to be in a situation where you're going to have to do that. And I hope that part of what you're saying is true. But I don't want to be out evacuating during what I saw was going on during Hurricane Rita and hope that people are going to stay calm and behave themselves. I think it is a really bad situation. It's not just during emergencies. It's during just life in general. I think it's a really bad situation whenever you put yourself in the government's hands and you think that they're going to protect you. I think that 9 times out of 10, maybe even higher than that, it's probably a safe bet. But you will probably be in a situation sometime in your life where you're going to have to protect yourself at least long enough until the authorities arrive. Which, you know, we've all heard. Sometimes that's 15, 30, 45 minutes, 2 hours. So how long can you survive depends on how scared the person is that is trying to do something to you, how scared they are of that telephone and you calling 911. So I just wanted to mention this so you guys would think about it prior to you being in the situation, much like I was when Hurricane Rita was bearing down on us. And thankfully, we didn't evacuate, and we didn't have to. It was a bit scary. The main reason we didn't evacuate was, first off, it was really hard to get fuel. The filling stations were either full of people, or they didn't have fuel, or it didn't make much sense to go because the traffic was backed up so far, and there was really no way of getting out of this town, at least not a conventional way. So I'm gonna take a quick break here, get a drink of some tea, and I'll be right back. Well, it's amazing how dry your mouth can get whenever you're when you're talking. It goes all the way down to my throat. Well, it looks like after I got done with what I was saying on the preparing yourself for bad situations, looks like we've lost Argonard and Mark from Detours. And was just looking over the chat while I was getting a little drink of tea there. And looks like they were talking to me there in chat, but I missed it. So sorry, guys. I would have liked to have heard your serious comments on there, and any questions or any rebuttal that you may have had about what I was talking about. Certainly, my opinion is just one man's opinion, and not necessarily the only way to look at things. It's just what I experienced firsthand, and something that I wanted to convey to you guys so that you could think about it prior to being faced with the situation. So if you do have any comment that you'd like to make on this subject, and really any others, or maybe there's some events coming up in your area, I recommend that you give us a call at our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week feedback line. And that's 530-675-4102, 530-675-4102. To say what your name is, first name is fine, where you're calling from, and that it's for the XJTalk.com show. And keep in mind, we may play that feedback, question, or comment during the live show, and also be available on the podcast. And also, too, don't forget about XJTalk.com. You can come over there and for free register on the site, and that's a great place to put up your events so that people know about them, whether it's off-road, barbecues, just a general get-together, fundraisers, pretty much anything you want to get out there to the folks. We also have a Facebook site, which is facebook.com/XJTalk. And that's another great place. I think we've got about 700 or so friends on Facebook. And we see a lot of event notifications on Facebook. They have some very nice, they have a very nice interface for event notifications. And that's a great place to let people know about what's going on. And also, too, a great place to find out what's going on with XJ Talk and and many of our vendors. So let's see. There was just looking here on the site. And they were joking around in the. I see that looking back in the chat room, they were joking around about Osama bin Laden, and I guess that's a very topical thing after this happened on I guess it was May the 1st that the news came out that this that Osama bin Laden had been found and killed by U.S. troops, and Max Trax. On XJ Talk started a thread, and the thread subject is Osama bin Laden is dead. And Max Trax says in his very simple post, short, simple, to the point, U.S. military finally found him and took him out. Way to go, troops. And I'll say this. My first response, and it was my first thing that I said when I heard about it, I think I told my wife, I'm not sure if my girls were around, but I told my wife, I hope a Marine put his boot on his neck and then shot him in the head. I hadn't heard anything other than Osama bin Laden was dead. I didn't know if it was a military drone attack. I didn't know if it was a troop thing. My fear, and this sounds bad, my fear is that he needed dialysis and he couldn't get it and he died somewhat of natural causes. My initial my initial want was that he was, if not scared, he was at least concerned about what was going to happen to him. He was concerned for his safety, much like the people that were in the tower when either they saw the plane coming, or they heard the explosion, or they felt the building shudder. That trepidation, I wanted him to go through part of that. I wanted him to feel part of that. And I would imagine over the last 10 years, he probably has been pretty nervous many times. But in the final moments of his life, I wanted him to be concerned for his safety. Even if he knew it wasn't going to turn out well, I wanted him to be concerned, just like those people, the people that were in those towers. I wanted him to be concerned, just like them. And then part of that, you know, I go, well, gee, I don't believe in the death penalty. I know that's kind of probably hard to believe based on what I was talking about earlier. there's so many cases that DNA evidence comes up and shows that people are innocent. They've been in jail for years and years and years and years. And ultimately, I don't think that we as people have the right to decide when somebody dies. I think we do have the right to protect ourselves, and if protecting ourselves means that we have to stop that person with deadly force, then we have to. I think that we as a society have a right to protect ourselves, and that would be to get people that will hurt people in the public away from the public, which would be prison. So even though I understand that politically it wouldn't be a great situation to capture Osama bin Laden and put him in prison, I kind of would have liked that. Just based on the way that I think about things, I would rather have him in a prison for the rest of his life and not enjoy his life. Not necessarily to suffer physical pain, but to suffer from the standpoint of now he's not on the run, he's in a prison, he sees what's going on with the world. Well, it's much like the Hitler thing, isn't it? I mean, is it better that Hitler's dead, or would it be better to let Hitler see the world that he helped create? Not that it's a bad world. I think it's a much better world without Hitler. And certainly his attempt to kill all the Jews didn't work. He killed a bunch of them. But I believe the Jews are doing just fine. I think it would have been very interesting for him to see the Jews take back their homeland. And I just think that it would have been a greater punishment for him to live. And that's why I think it would probably be a good idea, if they could had, to capture Osama bin Laden, put him on trial, and then if found guilty, put away in prison for the rest of his life. And I know that's it's not technically a martyr situation. It would be like a rallying cry for more terrorism. Let's get Osama bin Laden out of prison, and it would be a taking of hostages and trying to barter for his release. And like I say, it wouldn't be a great situation for America or its people. The best situation was for him to die, because there's not a lot they can do other than retaliate. And even if they retaliate, chances are good it won't be a retaliation that occurs on the anniversary of his incarceration or even his death. I'm sure of all the bad situations that it could be, that was probably the best of the worst of them. So I certainly understand why he died and why he had to die. But in more thoughtful retrospect, I could see for myself personally, I would have rather them have taken him alive and just let him get a very good sense of the world that he helped create. I think that the world is going to continue on. I think it's going to be better than it was before, much like it was after there was no more Hitler. Certainly, Osama bin Laden did not rise to the terror and the level of disdain that that Hitler did. But definitely made a huge difference in the lives of very many Americans, not only the 3,000 or so that were killed in the attack of the Twin Towers, but the 3,000 to 4,000 troops that were killed and the over 50,000 that have been injured and lost limbs and have had their lives changed forever, and the lives of their families. I know it sounds a bit cliche these days about talking about our troops and what a wonderful job they do and how important it is that what they're doing is protecting us. And being a child that was alive during the Vietnam War and seeing some of those things that were being said about our troops back then, and never agreeing with it, by the way, I'm really happy that the public, not persona, but the public is in support of our troops. I'm very happy that whether it's a liberal or a conservative, whoever, they at least, I don't think that they all really believe what they're saying, but at least their words are, "I support our troops." There's no spitting on our troops as they come home from facing these hugely horrible things that they've had to go through. So I'm very happy that you know, everybody says we support our troops, even the ones that are trying to cut funding, even the ones that are trying to, downsize the military, or even the politicians that obviously hate the military. They still say that. They still say it. But I want to assure you, I'm not saying it in that way. I think the military is a very honorable service, and I firmly believe that if our military wasn't in Afghanistan and in Iraq battling insurgents, that you and I here, would be protecting our families ourselves. And I'm sure the military would be involved, but I think there would have been a lot more attacks here, and we all would have had to be on alert, and it would have drastically changed our lives. So I cannot stress how grateful I am for our young men and women going to a place that is insanely hot, insanely dangerous, and putting their lives on the line to protect us here. You don't have to agree with me. You can think the war was a bunch of crap, that we were over there for oil, we were over there for whatever reason. I don't believe it. I believe the troops did what they had to do to keep America safe. And I'm very grateful. So it looks like we've got VW Fool Y has dropped in. Good evening. Glad you could join us. We had a few more people in here earlier. I think they were trying to chat with me here on chat, and I was on my little rant about protecting ourselves in a evacuation. So not sure if they left because they disagreed with me, they didn't like what I was saying, or they just couldn't get my attention on chat. But for any reason, glad you're here. Thanks for joining. So let's see. I mentioned about the Facebook thing. I was going to say that we were on Twitter. You can follow our tweets on Twitter. It basically, the site is set up to automatically go through, and every hour or so, it'll take the last three posts that were made and put up a little link. So if you don't have anything, but if you don't have a smartphone where you can access the site through a browser or Tapatalk, if you're not familiar with Tapatalk, you can just look that up on Google and load Tapatalk. I believe Tapatalk is available on iPhone and also on the Androids. And the read-only version is free. So you can literally load up this application on your phone and then punch up xjtalk.com, and you can access the xjtalk.com site from your smartphone. So at work while you're taking a break, or if you're at your kid's Little League game and you want to see what's going on in xjtalk, you can just whip out your smartphone, load up Tapatalk, and see what's happening. If you want to have the ability to make posts and reply to private messages, you can pay, I think it's $6.99, for the full version. And I believe all they do is just give you a little key to put in, and it activates the read-only free version. So then you really have a full functioning application that you can visit the site. And other sites are using that as well. It's for Tapatalk is written for the vBulletin software, which we use and is the most common forum software on the internet. So chances are good that you'll be able to use that for not only XJTalk, but maybe some of the other Jeep sites that you visit. And of course, not everybody lives by Jeeps alone. There could be other sites that you visit on the using your browser on your desktop or laptop that you'll be able to use Tapatalk. Just to, just check with the admins of those sites and see if they support Tapatalk. It's free for them, so just sending them a private message might be enough to get them to spend the 15 minutes to download and install the Tapatalk software. It's very easy to set up. And that's frankly how I found out about it. One of our members asked if we had it, and I'm like, no, what the hell's that? And they told me, and I looked at it and installed it. Very, very easy to do. And made it more functional and useful for our members. And that's what we try to do, is make things better and more functional for our members. So if you've got a Jeep, and even if you don't, you can join us over at xjtalk.com for free, and get in on the fun, the conversations. And as you can tell by tonight's live show, or podcast, if you're listening to it from the recording, it's not just about Jeeps. So join us and, join in the fun. Join in on the conversation. We don't always agree, but we're always respectful. So for everybody that showed up tonight, thanks a lot for coming. If you're listening to the recorded show, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you found it, if not entertaining, informational. And think about, if nothing else, think about some of the things that I said. You don't have to do anything, but think about it. So at least you might be prepared if the time ever comes. And you can ask Wayne in Christchurch, New Zealand. The time can come. And it may not make itself as known as what it was in Christchurch. They were getting some, some shakes before that, the two major earthquakes. And, it had been very quiet over there for all of Wayne's life, some 45 years. So don't let it sneak up and bite you on the ass like it almost bit my family on the ass before I woke up and decided to do something about it. Guys, thanks a lot. Again, Payless 4x4 on the show next week. So please join us then, and we hope to see you on xjtalk.com. Have a very good evening.
This is Kurt, a.k.a. Weldman from Wisconsin. If you're looking to get some great information or share what you know about your fucking XJ, and you need to see some fucking pictures of other XJs to get some ideas and how-tos, then this is the fucking place. We come from all over the fucking world, so you might even make a few great friends. You won't find a better group of fucking people to chat with. And best of all, we don't fucking judge you for your ride. So stock or super fucking modified, you always welcome here. So look no further. XJTalk.com is the fucking place you need to be. So sign up, sign in, and have some fucking fun.
Okay.